shots on the court.
That's all we
got. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all mingled up.
Yes.
Everybody get a chance to get to know each other. Okay, we have visitor cards that are being made up. We have
Matt is going to
make them up. So if this is your first time, we would very much appreciate if you would just take a small time after the service just to fill them out. Let us know how you enjoy the service, your overall experience. It really is a blessing to us to have your feedback so that we can improve on what we do here at Grace Family Outreach. Can you hear me? Good. We typed up too loud. Bless the Lord. For those who don't know me, my name is Urban Vance. I am not the pastor. I am a friend of the pastor who has asked me to minister. Our pastor and his wife, Linda Lakeisha Thompson, they are out at our other church, Park Hills, Missouri. Our pastor over us, Clifton, and his wife, Jerry, have asked them to minister there while they're out of town. So this is why I'm up here. So with that being said, welcome, welcome, welcome. I sure appreciate everybody coming. I love seeing the new faces. It's awesome. I wanted to expound on this scripture just a little bit more because I love this scripture that we have as our mission statement. This tells you exactly who we are and what we are about. The scripture goes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Basically, when Jesus was talking about, when he made the statement, he was talking to the Jewish nation. They were a people who were under the law, the old covenant. They practiced rituals that in a sense would make them right for the Heavenly Father, but it would only do it for such a time. Every year, they would be reminded that they are sinful and they need eternal purification. And what he was saying here is that I am that perfect sacrifice. I am that eternal purification from now for all time. So this is what this is about. And I love the scripture. It just ties right on into the message that's very near and dear to my heart. I wanted to talk about today the old covenant and the new covenant and how we have crossed over from that old covenant into the new by the finished work of Jesus Christ, and how we can experience his love, his grace, and his power on a daily basis. You know, from day to day, we can experience Christ. It's not something that we have to wait till Sunday comes. There's an artist, I can't remember his name, but he had a song, "When Sunday comes, I can cast all my burdens and all my sorrows upon Jesus." And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to wait a particular day for that to happen. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. You can expect to receive that each and every time you open up your heart to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to do a whole lot of talking. I don't have a whole lot of scripture. I'm going to run my mouth. I'm a big storyteller, so bear with me. I wanted to start off talking about the old covenant and just kind of just explaining what that was all about. So back in the times, how many of y'all show of hands know the story of the Jews leaving Egypt and crossing the Red Sea? You all seen the Prince of Egypt? Okay. So the old covenant starts after they leave, after they cross over the Red Sea, okay? They're in the wilderness and God is bringing them to the promised land. And so he comes to them and says, "I want to make you my special people, a holy nation set apart just for me." And in response to what the Lord had said, to the people, they spoke out with one accord, "Whatever you ask of us, Lord, we are able to do." Okay? I think the last message that I had, I kind of talked about this, where in the midst of their pride, they rose up and said, whatever you require of us, we can do it in order to be righteous. And so out of that came the Ten Commandments, okay? He told them, he gave Moses the Ten Commandments to give to the people. The Bible says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, okay? So with that being said, he gave them the law. And the Bible says that when he spoke the law to them, they were crying out, covering their ears, begging Moses to stop because they couldn't bear the word, because it was nothing that they could, the law was so heavy, they couldn't keep not a single one of them. But throughout the generations, they continued to, along with the law, he gave these rituals, the sacrificing of animals and the spewing of their blood to cover their sins. And that practice was only a shadow of what Jesus would ultimately do later on in the New Testament. So for, how many years was it before? I can't remember. For so many generations of years, the Jewish people, and even still today, they practice this ritual. They don't do the killing of animals and all that kind of stuff. But if you kind of study what they're doing now, they're praying at the Western Wall, and every, they have these certain Sabbaths and these certain holy days that they set aside, and they practice certain rituals to honor the Lord. But what they fail to realize is that when Jesus came, he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate Sabbath. He was all of those things. So now, all of those things are no longer needed. The Bible says that the law was given to us as a guardian. And it was also given to us to show us that we were sinful and that we were in need of a Savior, which is Jesus Christ, who will come later on. So we have the whole covenant. You kind of understand it? I'm not losing nobody. You good? The whole covenant. They have it, and now here is Jesus. We're into the new covenant. Jesus comes, and he's performing all these miraculous signs and wonders, and he's giving teachings and parables, all just as a sign to show that I am the last Adam. I am the perfect sacrifice. I come, Jesus said to the people, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me, and I will be gentle and lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What he was saying was that you no longer have to hold on to these Ten Commandments or all the laws or practice these rituals. I have come to fulfill all those things so that now you and I can be one, and you can receive all that my Father has for you today. Okay? And that is post-law. That's the covenant that we live in now, the new covenant, the covenant of grace. The old covenant was all about, in essence, what you have to do in order to be right before God. This covenant now is what God has done for you and what he continues to do and supply for you each and every day. This is why I love what Sharon said, that this here is not a religion. What people don't understand, if you study the word religion, basically it says religion is practices and things that you keep in order to be accepted before God. Christianity is all about what God has done for you, all that he has given, giving up Jesus Christ so that he can receive you and give to you consistently all the time. 365 days a year, God is constantly supplying your grace, your favor, wisdom, strength, power, rest, all of those things. That's why I hope I don't offend anybody. I don't care. Muslims, Hinduism, all those different types of religions, there's a there's a bumper sticker that I see that says coexist. You seen that? And it's got all the different religious symbols, and it's got the cross on the end. And I often think to myself, there will never be a coexistence between the two, because they're two totally different things. All of those are religions. This is a receiving. All we do is receive. The Christian life is all about, thank you, Lord, and I receive. The same way that you believe God for your salvation is the same way that you continue to receive from Him. The Bible says, as you have believed, so you must continue to receive that same way. Okay? Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Okay? It's just a constant entering to His rest, receiving, receiving, receiving. So I wanted to talk about that, because what has happened in the church today is there is a mixture between the two covenants. And a lot of people don't see it, but it happens all the time. How many people, by show of hands, have been hurt by church? Maybe a church member hurt you. Somebody said something that might have offended you, okay? I want to say I'm sorry on their behalf, because they mean well, but what happened? I wanted to use this example. Man, can I use you? Could you come up here? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. Anthony, can you come up here? I will not embarrass you, I promise you. David, come on up here. I will not embarrass you. So, Anthony is going to be Anthony's going to be the center, okay, for this example. David is going to be his old father, okay? So you can stand over there with him now. I'm going to make it simpler than that, okay? David, you're going to be his pop. Anthony is going to be the son. Matt here is going to be the billionaire that's going to adopt Anthony. Okay? Look, that's the good news. What he did right there is the good news. That is the gospel. It's so good that you can't help but gravitate to what he's got. Okay? So, come back over here. Yeah. So this is the life coming from poor to rich, okay? So Anthony is his son, or, you know, he's just over here. And he dies, you can go. I know that was easy, you just go. And now Mac decides that he wants to adopt Anthony. So he comes over, okay? So Anthony's in his family, okay? For whatever reason, his father has died, and Anthony had no other people to come to. Mac has compassion, he loves him, and he wants him to be in his life, so he accepts him, okay? Now, Anthony is his son, but Anthony's still acting crazy, okay? He's still, whatever he inherited from his father, Anthony is still participating in that activity. So I'll let your imagination run wild as to whatever he's doing. But yet, he is now Mac's son, okay? He has everything that Mac has. Mac has Ferraris, Mac has the Lamborghini, he goes stuff. Mac has a 25 million square acre mansion. Mac has just Gap cars and whatever, Sats, all that stuff, you know, all that stuff. He has all of it. And he has an endless spread of breakfast and sausages and pancakes and all that stuff all the time. But yet, Anthony's acting crazy, rebelling, he runs away from the house and all of that stuff, okay? I know it's kind of somewhat of a poor example, but the point I'm trying to make is this. He's crossed over from that family into this family. But he still continues to act in his old ways, even though he has a new family, even though he has all these things that are at his disposal, and he won't receive them. Thank you. Thank you so much. Y'all give him a hand clap. The point I'm trying to make with that example is this. When we come into Christ, we come into the new covenant. We come into the finished work of Jesus Christ, okay? We have everything that Jesus has. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. It doesn't say as he will become one day or what he has been in the past. It says, as Jesus presently is right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, everything that he enjoys, all the favor, all the love, all the wisdom, all the peace, we enjoy those things as well. The problem is that in the Christian life or the church world today, we're living in a new covenant and our Heavenly Father is still living with the mindset of the old commandments. To give an example, I'm a believer. Good example. I'm a believer and I live the Christian life, you know, day to day, doing all those things. Just, I am that person. But yet, I may still struggle with pornography, okay, or obesity, or whatever it is. You know, I still struggle with that thing. Or I struggle with the mindset of, if I do this, then I'll be okay with God. But the truth of the matter is, I'm already okay with God. I'm in this family. There's no separating me. The Bible says there's nothing that can separate me from His love, the love that is in Christ Jesus. And he goes through all these things, nor height nor depth, no any other created thing can ever separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Your born again spirit is forever sealed with Christ. That means from now or from the day that you believe God for your salvation, to the day that you die, and for all of eternity, you are forever righteous with God. It does not matter if you act crazy for the rest of your life. You are sealed in Christ forever. Now, it is a great benefit that you don't act crazy for the rest of your life, even though you have such a great salvation. But the problem is, like I'm saying, we live the born-again life with the old covenant mentality. And I want to talk about the accuser, Satan. His job is always to get you to look at you, what you've been in the past. He's either always talking about what you've done in the past or worrying about the future. How many of y'all, you know, we've had those thoughts of, man, I can't believe, you know, I did that the other night, or what's going to happen with this, you know, this bill? I got to pay this in so many days, or I'm getting a foreclosure. It's always looking in the past or the future and never concentrating on what you are now. That's the devil's tactic. If you've ever wondered, that's what he's all about. Never getting you to look at what Jesus has done or what he's doing in your life, but always to get you distracted with the old man, okay? This body is a rotting, decaying, sinful being. And that's why it will die one day. But your soul, your born-again spirit, will live on because it's born again in Christ. Okay? That has eternal life. And God has promised that he will give you, you know, brand new bodies that'll transcend matter and just be able to do all these amazing things. It'll never die, okay, to go along with your born-again spirit. So with the tactic of the enemy, he keeps you bound up in, let's say you have a problem with pornography, okay? You make this promise, you know, I'm never gonna look at this website again or whatever, you know, and you find yourself being tempted and you fall short of that. And you're crying out, beating your breast, and Lord, I promise I'll never do this again. And he's like, I got you again, you know, because it's a recurring cycle. He uses the law in order to keep people bound, okay? The Bible says that the law is the knowledge of sin, or it's the power of sin. It means that the more that I look at, the more I'm consciously aware of what the law says about me and what I need to do in order to obtain righteousness, the more sin, the more I give the power of sin to come into my life and dominate me with the same redundant cycle, okay? But the moment that you become consciously aware of the finished work of Jesus Christ and all that he has done, knowing that he is holy and righteous, the more I reflect on that, then I begin to act like that. You know, people wonder, well, if you don't talk about the Ten Commandments or you're not teaching about the law, how do you keep people from acting crazy and sinning? When I look at Jesus, the perfect Lamb, he is my righteousness, he is my holiness, he is my justification, he is my purification. He is the one that keeps me. God spoke personally in the Bible and said, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusted me. The more I rest in that, the more I enter into what he's done for me. There's a quote that I wanted to come to, and it's by a guy by the name of Carter G. Woods. And he's known for starting African-American history. The quote goes, if you can control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his action. When you determine what a man shall think, you do not have to concern yourself about what he will do. If you make him feel as if he is inferior, you do not have to compel him to accept his inferior status, for he will seek it himself. If you make that man think that he is an unjust outcast, you do not have to order him to the back door. He will go without being told. And if there is no back door, his very nature will demand. What it's basically saying is, we become what we think about. What I believe consciously in my heart, my life, everything in life will pull me towards that. I will gravitate towards that. The world calls it the law of attraction. Okay? Whatever I set my mind and my heart onto, everything in life will draw me to that destination. So when the believer is caught up between the two, I'm born again, but I'm still living with this old mentality. The Bible says in James, he is a double-minded man. Let him not think that he will receive anything, because the two can't coexist. You cannot say, I had this example I was thinking about this morning. I can't ask Anthony to, I can't ask my wife, my lovely wife, Rachel, with my daughter. I cannot ask her, baby, will you make me some fresh baked cookies? You know, and she goes to work on it. And then in the midst of her trying to work on the cookies, I'm all in her way, you know, just, I gotta fix these cookies, you know, I'm taking the bowl from her and she's getting the dough and she's mixing it and I'm moving her out the way so I have to mix it. That's what it means to be double-minded. You know, I'm asking God for this, but I'm steady all in the way, okay? God, help me, deliver me from this bad habit, or I wanna, you know, whatever, you know, the circumstance is. And then you're constantly in the way. What happens is you're cutting off that flow, the flow of God, that he supplies everything that you're asking and more. You're cutting that flow off by getting in the way because I got to do it, but I'm asking him. It doesn't make any sense, okay? It's a stagger. That's why the scripture says, let not any man think that he will receive anything from the Lord because he is a double-minded man and unstable in his ways. So lastly, how do we overcome that? How do we get out of being in, or trying to be in, two different, yeah, how do you overcome trying to be in the old covenant and in the new covenant? It's simply just be the new covenant, okay? The scripture says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Not whose mind is stayed on his effort in attempt to get to me. You're already with the Lord, okay? There's getting no closer. The Lord spoke to me one time and said, I am not looking at your sins to judge you. I've already done that in Jesus Christ. Every sin that you committed, will commit, or president of the park committee has been covered by Jesus Christ. He also said to me, I'm also not looking at the good things that you're doing either. Because the Bible says that our righteousness, meaning man's attempt in order to be righteous, there's nothing but filthy rags. When you dig into that scripture more, it says women's filthy rags, the monthly menstrual cycle, is what he compared man's attempt in being righteous with, okay? So the Bible also says that the tree, we know the story of Adam and Eve. How many know the story? They bit off the apple. The tree is called the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't just call it the tree of bad or the tree of evil. It calls it good and evil. So when you're constantly feeding off of that and you're consciously aware of, well, this is good, you know, this is good in the sight of God, this is bad, I need to stay away from this. Well, if I do this, I'll do this, you know, then God will make me accepted in the sight. And that cycle just keeps you bound, just confused, and never seeing the full life that God wants you to live, okay? So the key is to stop eating from that tree. Feed simply on the tree of life. There were two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and evil that God never wanted us to partake in, because that's not how he wanted to fellowship with us. It's not a, you're my son, but in order to continue to be my son, you got to do this and you can't do that. No, I'm your son. Blood is blood. That can't be changed by circumstance. That's my father forever. Okay, so leave, cast that tree aside and begin to simply feed on the tree of life, Jesus Christ. In that tree, there is peace, an abundance of rest, a blessed assurance that not only that Jesus is mine, but that everything that he has, I have as well, okay? I know that the world teaches us that we gotta hustle and bustle in order to obtain things that we want to see in our lives, or things that we want to have. But if you look at that type of life, it's a life full of stress, a life full of anxiety and just tiredness. But when you look at a life that is grace-filled, it's an effortless thing. It's something that God performs and you simply walk into it. The whole journey throughout the wilderness for the Hebrews into the promised land was all about them simply just entering into the rest of God so that you can receive the promise. He even says, don't think that I gave you this land because you were holy and that you performed some kind of act that made me change my mind. I'm doing this because I made this promise to Abraham. Abraham believed me, and I called him righteous, and I'm honoring that promise, and this is for you now. The same still goes for today. I'm a believer in Christ. I must continue to believe that same way. I must continue to depend on his love, depend on what he's done for me, what he does, what he supplies, each and every day. Okay? Any questions? No confusion. I think I'm done. So, with that, amen. I'm glad. I'd like to give opportunity to those who are here today who may have been having that question or that burning desire to want to know the Lord. If you would like to know the Lord, if you would like to accept him as your personal Savior, because he's here. That table is spread for you all the time. It's always available to you. The Bible says, if you will call on the name of the Lord Jesus, he will come. He's there for you. So we are here for that. Is there anybody that would like to receive the Lord today? That's what's up. Amen. You accepted them before?
Yes. Yes.
And you truly believe?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you this. You want to recommit because of some circumstance?
Yes. My spirituality is good.
I'll tell you this. Because there's this misconception. that somehow salvation can be lost if I do enough wrong stuff. And that is what I was talking about, the knowledge of good and evil. When you're feeding on that tree, the enemy comes in and condemns you, talks about, you probably had thoughts about how bad you've been, and look at the stuff that you did and all this other kind of stuff. And it makes you feel like, well, I have done that stuff, so I must be this way. But let me tell you that your point of view, spirit, and your body are two totally different entities. Yeah. That body will die. We all got an expiration date. That's going to hit the kicker one day. But your born again spirit is right with God forever. The Bible says nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, as he is, so are you in this world. It does not matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you ever will do. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive him, that is set in stone forever. So, I know what you're saying. A lot of us come from that background of I want to recommit. But if our actions would cause us to be out of place with God, then everybody would recommit every second of the day. Okay? There's no